So how much longer do you think we can hold back the floodgates of tribulation and judgment?
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you to the weekend edition of Truth to Ponder. I'm your host, Bob Bierman. By the way, next week is the last full week of the month of May. I've got a few thoughts to share about what we'll be discussing next week before we get to the break today. A lot of things are on my mind as I approach today's radio program. We've had some interesting programs this week here on Truth to Ponder. Now, I know some of you only hear the program on the weekend, so you may miss the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday editions. Those that listen overseas on the weekend, if you have internet access, we do have the other programs available as a podcast at our website, truth2ponder.com. truth2ponder.com. We talk a lot on this radio program about where this world is heading. What kind of pathway are we on? Are we looking at things of biblical prophecy, maybe biblical proportions? We talk about a lot of stuff here. And I know, and I was thinking the other day, there was a song that came out back in the early part of the 1990s. And it was done by a guy out of Texas. It's called We Must Take America Back. And it talked about all the ills of our society, a corrupt government, perversion, just a lot of the stuff we talk about today. We've been having trouble in this world here in the United States, Canada. It doesn't matter where you live. You could be on the continent of Africa. You could be in India. You could be in Europe. It doesn't make any difference. There has been this steady erosion of morality, decency, and godliness. You can't deny it. There's been a war against people of faith that has been gradually ratcheting up for decades, literally since the end of World War II. But today, what is different than maybe 30 years ago, when that song, We Must Take America Back, what's changed? For many people, the filters are off. For many people, there is nothing to hold them back. For many people, violence and anger and cursing is just a way of life that didn't exist. There's nothing holding people back like there used to be. There's not even a modicum of decency with many people today. 30 years ago, things like Pride Month, and there's something that needs to be said. I'll say it today. We'll talk about it a lot next week on the program and as we get into June. How we got to the point that we celebrate some kind of sexuality for an entire month. What in the world does being a homosexual require a whole month of pride and parades and honor and acknowledgement and all that goes with it? A whole month. And yet when it comes to celebrating motherhood, we get a Sunday. When it comes to celebrating fathers, we get a Sunday. That's about it. But it seems that absurd sex, strangeness, demands a full month, and it demands you acknowledge it and you celebrate it. And, you know, you've got to participate, or you're a homophobe, or you're a thisophobe, or a thatophobe. How in the world did we get to this point that companies, that they just fall in line? You know, AT&T, they're going to have a rainbow logo. They all do. How did we get to this point that all of this is acceptable? How do we get to a point that suddenly sexualizing children is normal and is something that governments are pushing all over the world? What does a four-year-old understand or a five-year-old understand about gender identity, and sexuality? They don't. They're not equipped. They haven't matured. And yet you have evil, disgusting, perverted, reprobate individuals, demonically possessed, trying to come after your children. We can talk politics all day long, but until we are a changed people, our politics are no more than a reflection of who we are in a society at any given time. Here in the United States, a country that I believe for many, many decades was blessed by God in spite of our imperfect selves, we have turned our back on God so far that that hand of blessing is long gone. The United States that I knew as a child is dead. The ideals that I believed in are corrupt. Now, I know there've always been corrupt politicians. That goes without saying, because people are evil by nature. If they're unredeemed, unrepentant, and unsaved, they can tend to fall into the trap of their narcissism. We have all these leaders trying to control your life, trying to make you afraid of the climate, that you're causing the problem. And I don't believe that at all. A couple of weeks ago, we had the solar storms. It impacted shortwave listening incredibly for several days. But those same storms also can charge the atmosphere in such a way that we saw storms that coincided with these solar storms. We're talking thunderstorms and wind here all over the globe. The sun has a greater impact on the climate than the phony, fake, and fraudulent scientist will ever admit. I noticed a couple of stories in recent weeks, and thinking back over the last 10 years or so, some stories that were out there. 10 years ago, there was a headline, and this is from Live Science, and it said the Earth's magnetic field is weakening 10 times faster now. In 2018, Forbes picked up a similar story. Is the Earth's magnetic shield eroding? It's going faster. Earth is losing its magnetic shielding at an accelerated rate of 5% per decade. And that article indicated it's well established that in modern times, the axial dipole component of the magnetic field is diminishing or decreasing by about 5% or more per century. Recently, scientists are using satellite data, and they're saying it's really not 5% per century. It's now 5% per decade. And I believe this is one of the reasons that this impact of solar storms is so much higher. Yet it's not the storms, according to these idiot scientists and these phony teachers and the climate change people that want to control your life. Remember, this magnetic shield is designed to protect this planet from harmful solar radiation. It's supposed to travel around. But as it collapses, more gets through. How many saw the northern lights way far south for the first time? And then you've got the reprobate corporate lying filth media trying to debunk the common sense notion that a weakening magnetic field can lead to more violent and extreme earth weather. Oh, it's just a coincidence, you know. It's really your farm. It's really your gasoline car. It's your gas stove. You know, it's your sautéing onions. It's the cows that they're killing the climate. Because, see, if they had to admit that what is happening is unfortunately natural and there's nothing we can do to change it, then they have no reason to put control over you. It takes away the hammer over your head. So I asked the question at the beginning. Are we too far gone? Are we able anymore to stall, push back, delay God's tribulations, maybe not the Great Tribulation yet, but tribulations that will come. Can we delay much of this any longer? Is there any hope to delay the inevitable? God's judgment being one of them? How much more can we taunt an almighty God, curse in his face, celebrate the sins that he abhors, and have corporations just, you know, standing in line to celebrate those sins and demand you celebrate with them? How long can a government survive that is openly hostile to God? A government that at one time acknowledged God in their affairs and now curses the same God in all that they do. How many people claiming to be Christians, Protestants, Catholics, whatever, can ignore the scripture, mock it, deny it, and tell God he's wrong? I got news for you. A reprobate church body can get together and vote that this sin in the Bible is no longer a sin. And guess what? God could care less about your vote. You do not have the ability to tell God what to do when it comes to his word. Period. And I laugh. Yet I also cry when I think about how many church bodies. We talked earlier this week to a friend of mine who many years ago was a United Methodist pastor that saw what was coming over 25 years ago and tried to sound the alarm, and he was the one shut up and shut down. Entire church bodies have been consumed by the forces of hell. They are no longer Christian. They are fraudulent. They are imposters. There is no life in them. They are dead. They are useless. They are worthless. And they're drawing people into hell. On Thursday of this week, for those that listen here in the United States, I talked a little bit about the federal government and how disastrous it's become, and how corrupt most government agencies have become. Department of Education, they want to just push the transgender and gay agenda on your little kid. And woke ideology and diversity, inclusion and equity. That's all they care about. They don't care if you can read or write or understand the basics of mathematics. They want to change who you are socially and even spiritually. We have an entire political party here in the United States that is doing the bidding of pagans. They worship Moloch, Gaia, and Ishtar. And yet some will claim that I'm a good Catholic. I've got a rosary in my pocket. Whoopee. It's not going to save you. You have made your allegiance with the demons of hell. And unrepentant, you will pay a price. And even some of the so-called conservatives, they're about as fake and phony as they come. They're just statists. They just know how to play the game. And some have got incredibly immoral characters. I always get a kick. You know, look, when I vote, I know that I'm not voting for the head pastor of a church. I know I'm voting for a politician. And as I've always said, you vote for the one that poses the least threat to your faith, your family, and your finances. That's who you vote for. But I'm also getting tired of being told that I have to vote for certain people that really don't have the moral clarity. And some are really bad when there's other options. There are some people in the House of Representatives here in the United States and even the Senate that I think should be primaried out by people that are, shall we say, of better character. But we get the government that we deserve from God. And I really believe in recent years, God has given us an evil and corrupt government for an evil and corrupt people. And where has the church been all this time? And this is my biggest complaint. Too many churches are dead, either absent without leave, They have abandoned the faith once delivered, so they're useless. They're celebrating the evil that used to be condemned inside their own building and saying it's all of God. It isn't. It's of demons and devils. And the sooner you understand that, I really believe the world has come to a tipping point. Even God's hand of protection is leaving. You see the magnetic fields collapsing faster than they expected. And as this magnetic field begins to decline, you're going to see some disasters on a global scale. But they're going to tell you it's because of your gas stove. No, it's because of your SUV. It's because you eat hamburgers. All a big lie. By the way, quick little side note. Read a guy, story from a guy, a real honest-to-goodness scientist. I mean, this guy understands space technology better than anybody that I could imagine, and his resume is impressive. And he talks about solar panels, those black solar panels that are maybe 20% efficient at best with the best sunshine you can get, and how they're black and they reflect heat into the atmosphere. If you go to where a big solar panel farm is, it's a lot hotter because it's absorbing the heat, and then it's also colder in the winter. You're causing large areas of rural America to become just like cities, holding in the heat and the cold, which also, as cities grow, you say, it's climate change. No, it's the city grew and you got blacktop instead of grass. But even some of the major newspapers can't understand simple fifth grade science. They want you to deny that. God's hand of protection is leaving. Solar storms, I believe, are going to be coming more frequently. And the magnetic field around the earth, its protection is going to be declining over time. How long it's going to take before these so-called experts will actually see the reality? How long are they going to say, no, it's just man-made climate change? Shut off that coal plant. Turn off that natural gas. Let's build more wind turbines and solar nonsense and drive around in electric cars and buy our batteries from China. How long are we going to do this? How long are we going to let this happen to us? I believe that I'll say it again. If you missed it a minute ago, I'm going to say it again, and I want you to take this and put this in your heart and understand it. We as a world, Christians that used to be the salt and light, remember, salt is a preservative, light brings the truth. Too much of the church no longer is salt. It is no longer light. It hides inside of its four walls, even before it's being forced to. I know the day's going to come when the church is going to be underground again, and I don't think the church is ready. I mean, face it, here in the United States, so-called Christian nation, you know, I remember when I heard Barack Obama say that the United States was no longer a Christian nation, and I was highly offended. But as the years have gone by, I hate to admit it, but he was right. We stopped being one a long time ago. Somewhere in my lifetime, it started. I think the evil seeds were sowed a long time before. But 1962, the idea of prayer in school, separation of church and state, and this sudden change in the American attitude that never existed for the 100 and almost 200 years prior, 185 some odd years, 83, whatever. God could be acknowledged publicly. Presidents could pray. Hey, even FDR prayed on D-Day on the radio. But see, now you can't do that. Now you can't honor God at all. It is basically forbidden, you know, separation of church and state. And over those years, the church, mostly, not all, failed to stand up and make its voice known. Too many churches just adopted the world, trying to survive. Other churches retreated into their own little world, not being of any value to anybody. Today, the attitude is very simple. I can remember a time when I was in high school, even in New York State. Stores were not open first thing early Sunday morning. People slept in a little bit and went to church. Spend time relaxing with family and friends. But today, it's just another day of commerce, another day of Amazon deliveries, another day of all the stuff that's really not important. People find it so easy, and I know this from being a church pastor, they find it so easy. Something else better comes along on a Sunday morning. We're not going to go to church today. And for a guy like me that is a church pastor and you put a lot of effort and time trying to prepare things for the church, everything from a bulletin, and which I'm finally getting some help on now, and other things, you put all the effort in and people, I don't think I'm going to go today. It's not important. See, if God is not the first thing in your life, then he's nothing in your life. Let me say that again. If God is not the first thing in your life, then he is nothing in your life. Then you're a cultural Christian and there is no salvation in you. And don't give me this once saved, always saved garbage that I got saved when I was 13 so I can do as I please today, Bob. I don't have to go to church. You're a fool if you believe it. Now we're coming into a time of judgment. And the church needs to understand that it does have power if it will seek out that power, if it'll repent of its sin, turn from its evil ways. A lot of churches are going to be in for a big surprise when they stand before Jesus and they say, well, you know, Lord, we gathered in your name. We did this, that, and the other. He goes, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. In a few minutes, I will talk about empowering the church. I know a lot of people saying, Bob, you don't do the news as much as you used to. And guess what? I really don't want to. I'm getting sick of the news. I'm getting sick of politics. I'm getting sick of all of it. Because it doesn't mean a thing if we don't have Jesus. Politics will not save you. We are on our way to our own destruction. And too many people are just not seeing it. They refuse to see it. Bob, all we need to do is vote in the right candidates and the world will be a great place. Yeah, for a season. I'm looking at eternity, not a season. And I'm just frankly getting sick of the news, sick of politics, sick of all of it. I don't need it. You don't need it. How many of you spend 50 hours, 30, 40 hours a week consuming the news and the politics and barely can find an hour for God? Your priorities are all wrong. Fix that first. Maybe you'll see some change. If you believe in our mission and ministry, and like I say, we're coming to the end of the month next week, and we will be cutting back some airtime, I know that. It really comes down to you. If you believe in this ministry, would you visit our website, truth2ponder.com. Truth, the numeral or number2ponder.com. We desperately need your help to stay on the air. You can use Give, Send, Go, or you can make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. Ancient Word Radio. And the mailing address is Post Office Box 510. Post Office Box 510. The city is Chilhowie, C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E, Chilhowie, Virginia. And the zip code in Chilhowie, Virginia, 24319. That's 24319. Once again, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E, Chilhowie, Virginia, 24319. That's 24319.
This is Truth to Ponder. with Bob Bierman.
Greater than Perseus coming up. Shalom Aleichem. This is the nice Jewish boy, Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out. We're receiving a special free gift you're going to get and love in a moment. In the book of Ephesians, Paul tells the believer to put on the armor of God. Now, it's striking as the Ephesians had myths about heroes using divine armor. Foremost was the hero Perseus, son of Zeus, winged sandals. He could fly, a helmet of Hades gave him invisibility, the curved sword to slay monsters, a shield. He came against the monster Medusa and slew her. And he saved his people by slaying a great sea monster. The Greeks named it consolation on the story. It's all based on a hero who gets armor and becomes a hero because of the armor he gets. But it's all a myth. But what Paul speaks about in Ephesians is not a myth. It's real and it's more glorious. It's not from the gods. It's from God himself. The girding of truth, the sandals of the gospel, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the sword of the spirit. It's real and it's for you. And it means if you're a believer, to be a hero. That's your mission. You got a mission to bring salvation. You got to live a heroic life. Not of fear, not of selfishness, not of defeat, but an epic story. It's for you. You are to fight the good fight, and you're to take up the breastplate, the shield fitted for you, weapons fitted for every salvation, every obstacle that'll come against you, more powerful than anything that'll bring you victory in every situation. It's not about your strength. It's about the power and the armor of God. God has called you to a heroic life, and it all begins when you gird yourself, you pick up, and you put on that armor of the hero. Want more? Ask for The Armor of the Hero on CD. Now, the free gift for you, The Mystery of the Temple Doors, also on CD. It's going to be free for you, and you'll love it. And Sapphires with the Riches of Your Jewish Roots in Jesus, special teachings, updates on Israel, world events, and prophecy as an end-time believer, give you strength. So, how do you get these gifts free? Easy. Just remember Jesus, really, your name Yeshua, and you dial it. So, to receive your free gifts, just call now, 1-800-YESHUA-1. You will be blessed, but call now, 1-800-YESHUA-1. Now, I invite you to join me in bringing salvation back to God's ancient nation, Israel, and to the unreached peoples on five continents. It's amazing. Farthest way you will ever impact the world for the gospel. Shortwave radio, it's amazing. Blanket the earth. How? Just call 1-800-YESHUA-1. That's YESHUA-1. Or write me direct. Just write to the nice Jewish boy, box 1111. It's in Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, 07644. It's a nice Jewish boy. It's box 1111. It's Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, 07644. Well, till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying, put on that armor, my friend. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be to you in Messiah, HaGivor, our hero.
Is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you back to part two of our weekend edition of Truth to Ponder. I'm your host, Bob Bierman. I'm so glad that so many of you listen as a podcast. Many of you listen on shortwave radio, whether it be WRMI, WTWW, The Voice of Hope in Africa on the weekends. Would you maybe take a moment and let me know how you listen? If you have access to email, you can email me directly. I'm not going to make a big, email list and bother you. I just would like to hear from you. Bob@truth2ponder.com. Bob@truth2ponder.com. And once again, your support of this radio ministry is vital to keep it going. And I know that in the weeks ahead, there's going to be some changes. There needs to be, and I'll talk about that a little bit later on. This past Sunday was called Pentecost. Now, some churches celebrate it, some churches not so much. But it's a reminder of what we read in the book of Acts chapter 2, where the Holy Spirit fell on the disciples and the church was born. Had the disciples tried to do it on their own, they would have failed. Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem until the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, has come. Too many churches today have lost sight that we do have the power of the Holy Spirit. We try to do it on our own intelligence. We try to do it on our own steam, our own power, our own wisdom, our own whatever. And we forget the power that God has given us. I shared a message with my congregation this past Sunday at Trinity Chapel. I want to share it with you now. Your church needs the Holy Spirit. My friend, you need the Holy Spirit. So welcome into the sanctuary of Trinity Chapel. Heavenly Father, as we come to this time that we gather around your word, open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our hearts to receive what you have for us this day. For I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. I want to share a couple of real quick stories. They're short and they're true. They really are. This stole you see me wearing that has the symbol of the Holy Spirit on it, I received this as an unexpected gift back in 1996. I was newly ordained to the ministry, just starting out, still working for a Christian college, and helping some small churches. And I've been invited to a conference of clergy of another denomination that was meeting in Clemson, South Carolina, not far from where I live. They would meet there. They had a great facility they could rent during the summer. And I went there, spent some time every day. Now, 1996, how many of you had cell phones? I was one of the ones that did. I mean, I had one of those, you've seen those bag phones. It looks like I'm calling down artillery, you know, when you're driving with that big thing. And so people knew that I was a rarity to have one because of the job that I had in engineering. I needed it. And we were finishing up the conference, and the bishop of that church denomination was supposed to be heading up to Statesville, North Carolina, because the clergyman up there was ill and it was time for his annual visit anyway. And so he was going to drive up there. So I'm heading from Clemson down to Georgia. He's heading from Clemson up to Statesville, North Carolina. And about just as I'm getting into the driveway at my house in Toccoa, my phone goes off. And it's another clergyman I had met saying, "Bob, what are you doing this weekend?" I said, "What happened?" He said, "Well, Bishop Lewis was getting ready to head up the highway and he just suffered a mild stroke." Oh, and it gets worse. The clergyman up there who's sick just died. They have nobody for tomorrow. They need somebody to handle the family. And would you do the funeral? So I told my wife, I said, "I guess I'll see you in a few days. I'm heading to Statesville." Little tiny church, smaller than this. And a family in mourning, because the guy was not all that old, but just had a health issue, and it just quickly. I took care of the service, took care of the funeral, did it all. And as I'm leaving, his widow had four stoles. There's a white one, this red one, a green one, and a purple one. You've seen me wear the purple and the green once before. He had just bought them and never used them. And she said, "This is a gift to you for being here for me and this family to give up these days to stay here." And then for the next 18 months, I traveled every Sunday to that church to take care of their services. 3.5 hours one way, 3.5 hours back, to get them stabilized again. And as they stabilized, we launched a second church in another community about 20 miles away. So I had two services, two churches on Sunday. So we started coming up the night before. My bishop decided at that point, you know, maybe you ought to have a church of your own that's a little closer. And that's how I ended up going to Florida. One other story that goes back to that time in 1996. When I was ordained to the ministry, and you had seen, if you were here the Sunday, I did an ordination here. When I was ordained into the ministry, I was in a pretty, what's the word I want to use, highfalutin kind of church. You want to talk about the all this stuff, the stained glass windows, you know, you name it, they had it. And the bishop that had come in from California to do the deed, he liked incense. So you know, you had one of these really fancy services, and he's just throwing that incense around. Big, tall guy. And what he didn't realize, if you've ever seen a church using incense, they have the little lid that comes up and down. The lid was loose, and he's got charcoal coming out, burning charcoal he's not seen. And so he's up at the altar, just, you know, throwing all that incense around, and nobody's noticing that the big Persian rug in front of the altar has got all these burning coals in it. No one noticed it. And then they get the chair out, and it's time for my ordination. True story. As I'm kneeling before him, and part of the prayer, receive thee now the power of the Holy Spirit, fire lifted up off the rug. You can see fire spitting up. And you can see all the acolytes and everybody looking for water, and they're stomping it out, and they're putting water on it. You know, they're using the little cruets of water, whatever they could find. And the bishop just kept on going with the prayer of ordination. He never skipped a beat. I've seen the video, and it's just like, receive thee now the Holy Spirit. Whoosh, fire. The first baptism I ever did at that little church. And remember, I started handling this little church not more than 2 months after that little episode. Had a baptism to do. That church, you know, they used the pouring method. And it was a really cramped little church. I mean, take this church and make it only from here to that wall, and it's all stuffed in one little area, a lot of people. And they had a little altar, and they had candles, and they had the big baptismal font, and we're all stuffed up here by the baptismal font. And my acolyte holding the cross leans back into a set of the candles, and his vestment goes up, and there's fire around his head. I grab the baptismal water and put him out. There were a lot of churches that didn't want to have me as their pastor when my reputation for being a pyromaniac was getting out. But those are the last episodes of that nature. Jesus said, I will baptize you with fire. Power. A comforter. Gives you all knowledge. I want you to think about this. Jesus tells his disciples before his ascension, okay, I got to leave. I'm sending the comforter. And here's what I want you all to do. Nothing. I want you to stay in Jerusalem and do essentially nothing until the Holy Spirit comes. Don't try to proclaim anything. Don't do anything. Don't share anything. Don't do anything until you have the power of the Holy Spirit. And so for approximately, they figure, the next 40 days, they just hung out in the upper room. Now what? He's gone. What is this power? They didn't have a clue. This is all new to them. But they had witnessed him. They had seen the miracles. They'd seen it all. I would dare say, and I've thought about this many a time, if the disciples had decided not to obey Jesus and try to start the church the next day after the ascension, they would have failed miserably. Because it's not the power of their message, it's the power of their message under the anointing of the Holy Spirit that is spoken to the hearts of those that need to receive it to make it work. They'd be missing the most vital ingredient. The church is not empowered by my knowledge, my talents, my abilities. I can't persuade you to do anything. St. Paul calls it the foolishness of preaching. Now, some are better at it than others. I'm not that great. There are many other preachers that I admire far better than me that are more entertaining to listen to. But without the Holy Spirit, the church is nothing. The church has no power. The church has no authority. The church has no purpose. It has no wisdom. It has no knowledge. It has nothing to glue it together. And when churches walk away from the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit to teach, guide, direct them, they find themselves in a precarious path, theologically speaking. It becomes doctrine of men, not doctrine of God. The Holy Spirit was given to be that authority. The only authority that I have in my office as any kind of a clergyman, whatever title you want to give it. It comes from the authority of the Holy Spirit, given to me by men who have decided, prayerfully considering under the power of the Holy Spirit, that I guess this guy should be in the ministry. And the laying on of hands, as you see all throughout the scripture, this idea of laying on of hands goes back to the beginning. Jesus laid his hands upon his disciples, just like the disciples laid hands upon others. One of the neat things, and I always say this, and about $2.89 will get you a cup of coffee at the Waffle House in Abington, but I've got a sheet that was given to me years ago that kind of indicates when you follow what the recorded, there's been a tremendous amount of recorded history in the Christian faith. There's been a lot of writings, a lot of it out there, and a great history has been kept. And I'm looking at this long progression that goes all the way back to St. Peter and St. Matthew, of all the people that they ordained, and the next one, and the next one, and the next one, and the next one. And you see over the centuries, name after name after name, this person ordained this one, who ordained that one, and it goes all the way to a guy named Charles Hunt, and on to me. There's an unbroken chain all the way back. And you know, it is kind of awe-inspiring, but it reminds you of how God can work. We are here for a purpose in this church. And the most important thing that I can do as your pastor is to help teach, encourage, and put a desire in you to want to know more about this book. I don't have all the answers. No man does. I have a lot of fun sometimes. I've got some Facebook groups that I belong to. And of course, someone in what I do for my background. One of my favorite groups that I belong in is one about eschatology, which is all about end time stuff. And it's amazing the difference of opinions about end time stuff. But the good news in that, even though a lot of them have different opinions, we've all agreed to get along and not be bitter, angry, or insulting. But it is kind of fun to watch and to look at this. And how many of you have ever heard of the name Vance Havner? Some people have. Vance Havner, Baptist preacher, great guy, theologian extraordinaire, and conference preacher, evangelist, writer, author, just incredible guy. I heard a sermon that he preached, and we had a recording of it at the radio station, and we were playing it one night, and I happened to hear it. And he had gotten to the point in his older age where a lot of these battles that had been fought over this little bit of theology versus this opinion and that, you know, and were getting a little bit out of hand, in his opinion. And he said, you know, I've come to this point. Somebody asked me, are you a pre-tribber? Are you a premillennialist? Are you a postmillennialist? Are you an all-millennialist? You've heard all these terms. And Vance said, as I was getting ready to answer the question, I could just hear God speak to my heart. And he said, I'm a panmillennialist. And people looked at him, what do you mean a panmillennialist? Aren't you a pre? Maybe mid? Definitely not post or all. You know, they're all arguing. He goes, no, God just gave me the comfort and peace to know I'm a panmillennialist. It's all going to pan out in the end. I may not thoroughly understand it, and I don't have to. I know my part in it because the Holy Spirit says to preach Jesus Christ crucified, risen from the dead for your sin. Believe upon his name and you shall be saved. This is my real calling. A lot of Christians get caught up arguing in the weeds about dogmatic little pieces of doctrine. They may be important, but sometimes they do it at the expense of sharing the good news with a lost and dying world. As I mentioned in the beginning of the service today, the majority of people no longer go to church. We've lost an entire generation. This guy was writing and one of the things I read was asking the question, is there a checklist of what you need to start a little church? And I'm going, yeah, kind of start with the Holy Spirit and see what he wants. There's no checklist that I know of. We can get caught up in all the wrong things. I want this church, and I've been hesitant to get in. I was going to wait till next week on this. How do I define this little chapel? Best way is, it's not that we're a non-denominational church. I don't even like that term because what does that mean? We don't belong to a particular denomination, but even though I might, interdenominational. What if all Christians believe together at all times? I'm not going to worry about the things that divide. I want to know what in God's word has bound all of us together to be here. We need to grow in Christ and stop being divided unnecessarily. I played that game. I was in those kind of battles for years to the point that I was ready to chuck it all and say, I'm done with you. And if it wasn't for that woman sitting over there, I probably would have. I got so fed up with the arguing, the bickering. Well, my church is better than your church, or our church believes this and yours doesn't. I mean, you can hear the whining. You're so busy arguing among ourselves. There's a whole world dying and going to hell, and you don't care about them. You're too busy defending your little positions. And I said, God, if you ever call me back into ministry, I want to be like the apostles. I want to walk out there with the authority of the Holy Spirit because it's not me. I want to see people's lives change for the cause of Christ. I want to see people growing up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. That's what I want to see. And here we are. And I knew it was never going to be easy. I'll close on this. I don't want to be too long today. I think I'm doing pretty good, all things considered. I'm a little bit warm up. Is it warm in here to you, or is it just me? Yeah. Good. I thought it was just me. We have an opportunity. We've had a year to be here. I've had a year to think. And then I can remember as we got into November this past year, I'm going, Lord, how do we grow your church? What do we need to reach? And then the one thing I never would have anticipated in a million years, the radio station. Had I not, to show you how God works, had I not started this church last year and had a not-for-profit corporation properly registered with an EIN number and everything else you're supposed to do, we did it all by the book, we would never have qualified to get it. We had to already be established. And I never thought they would open up a window again. I thought it was done. And it was a shock to everybody. They're going to open one more window? You got to be kidding. But they did. We may be a little church in a little subdivision, in a little tiny subdivision in a small county, in a little place called 7 Mile Ford. But I believe that we have a calling, a mission, and a ministry here. Told my wife today, and this will be my closing thought, because it's going to be the power of the Holy Spirit. I said, if each of these empty pews just had one more family, one more little unit, we would be filled and running out of parking spaces pretty quick. Then we have this ministry with the television and now the radio. And I think the radio in this very changing time is going to find those people that are looking and seeking and they don't know where they belong. And it would be wonderful to have this 24/7 message going out, music, inspirational thoughts, nothing too heavy, but enough to comfort somebody that is seeking. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for the giving of your Holy Spirit to your church, to your people. And I pray, Lord, that you'll empower each and every one of us. And now as we come to this time of communion, Lord, I pray that we all may receive and joy what you have for us. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Oh, spread the tidings round wherever man is found, wherever human hearts and human woes abound. Let every Christian tongue proclaim the joyful sound, the Comforter has come. The Comforter has come, the Comforter has come, the Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promised gift. Spread the tidings round wherever man is found. The Comforter has come.
The long, long night is past, the morning breaks at last, and hushed the dreadful wail and fury of the blast. As o'er the golden hills the day advances fast, the Comforter has come.
The Comforter has come, the Comforter has come, the Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promised gift. Oh, spread the tidings round wherever man is found, the Comforter has come.
Love divine, how shall this tongue of mine to wandering mortals tell the matchless grace divine that I, a child of hell, should in his image shine? The Comforter.
Promised gift. Oh, spread the tidings round wherever man is found, the Comforter has come. The Comforter.
Our time is just about up for this weekend's edition of Truth to Ponder, and I have several closing thoughts. Over these past few months, especially on the weekend program, I've been sharing a message from my church, and I don't know if it's helping you or not. I know for me, as I'm going through some healing and recovery from surgery dealing with my bladder cancer, it's been a great help to have segments that I can use to save a little bit of time. Because even producing today's program, the short amount that I spoke at the beginning. It takes a lot more time than it used to. I need to take breaks, and so keep me in your prayers. There are a lot of things that are on my plate right now, and your prayers are appreciated, and I hope that I'm not letting you down in what I'm doing with the radio program. But there are several things that I need to make explicitly clear. We started this program almost 4 years ago during the pandemic of 2020. And I knew at that time there were two messages I needed to get out, especially to the people in the United States and then North America and beyond. Number one, a lot of what governments were telling you globally were lies, and they knew they were lies. Things like 6-foot social distancing, they were just made up. There was no science to back any of it up. Even wearing face coverings was a lie. And yet you have countries now, hey, we're having COVID-19 coming back, put on your face covering. It's all lies. And people are falling for it. People have been psychologically damaged. Kids have been ruined. Businesses destroyed, suicides, all because of lies. And then I talked about politics. And I'm one that many disagree with me, and that's your prerogative. But I believe that the election in the United States in 2020 was tainted at minimum, stolen, perhaps. A lot of ballots that should never have been counted were counted. I warned you not to trust the system. Right now, the system is satanic. The system is evil at the core. The system no longer honors God. The system is condemned by God. These people are in power, yes, by God's authority. And they will be held accountable for how they exercise that authority. We are to pray for our leaders, but I do not worship my leaders. I worship God. And the church, in my opinion, has become almost irrelevant in many parts of the United States. Some churches, they've abandoned the faith once delivered. They make a mockery of the Bible and they glorify and celebrate sin. Others, it's about how you feel on any given Sunday. Are you being made happy by the music? Is the pep talk just what you want to hear? That is not the true faith. The church, in too many places, has abandoned the power given to it, the instruction given to it by the Holy Spirit. It's time to pay heed to what God has given His church. Now, our time is just about up. If you believe in our mission and our ministry, visit our website, truth2ponder.com, truth2ponder.com. You can support us using Give, Send, Go from the website, or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, 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 Virginia 24319, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia, zip code 24319. That zip code again in Chilhowie, 24319. And until next week, when we gather again, may God richly bless you, is my prayer.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.